Let's talk about the best verses of the year in hip-hop for 2021, and it's quite the interesting scene because in 2019 and 2020, maybe the mainstream wasn't as active, but we saw a big fucking boost from the underground, especially when it comes to lyricists and underground lyricists as that. So we're going to be going through Griselda members, we're going to be going through other underground artists, maybe even some mainstream acts, and all kinds of different verses that will compile into one big top 10 list. So guys, on that note, please subscribe to NFR if you haven't already. We're going to be keeping you updated with all of the biggest news in the industry and these types of lists and updated material. So how do you feel about this year's lyricism? How do you feel about everything? And do you think that this is a strong year for penship and verses?
100%. I mean, you know, not only lyricism, but also just performances in terms of delivery, the kind of voices that these artists are projecting through the verses. It's so much to actually take into consideration when you're talking about the best verses of the year. And we just put out our video on actually what we think is the best rap album of the year so far. So you guys could check that out. But we thought it'd be cool to kind of look more in depth into these songs and actually analyze the verses. So that's what we'll be doing on this episode. And thank you to our Patreon members who actually voted for this episode. And the options this week were Is Trap Music Dying, which got only one vote, surprisingly. After that, we had Top 10 Rap Verses from 2021 so far, which of course won with 9 votes. And then we had The Problem with Album Delays, which got 3 votes. So if you guys want to have your say in future episodes on the channel, head over to the link in the description and you guys could actually, you know, vote on what the episode is for every Wednesday episode on YouTube. So you guys could have your say there. But speaking on these verses, what do you think makes these verses stand out more than other years? And yeah,
I think it's more of the quality of the artist that we put on here. And the thing is that we also have some sleeper picks and you guys are going to see that at our number 10 pick. But we wanted to, you know, take some stuff that I feel as if, you know, really pushed shit forward for 2021, like versus where you kind of had to stop your Apple Music or your Spotify song and you're like, whoa, what the fuck, like what's going on here, let me rewind, let me go listen to that. Or a lot of these verses, like, you're gonna need to keep Genius next to you because you need the annotations, you need to look at the rhyme structure, you need to go back and feel those double entendres. So there's a lot of different things that go into deciding a good verse. Another thing for me is delivery and the type of cadence someone comes on with, because you could be a crazy lyricist and you could deliver a great verse, but if the energy doesn't match it, if there's no sort of flair or sort of flavor into that, you know, delivery, it kind of has it off for me and it kind of becomes not enjoyable to listen to.
Everything has to come
together.
How about
you? Yeah, like what's your one
everything
thing
that you mentioned
for?
Man, just flow, delivery, lyrics, energy, vocal performance, just everything combined. So let's start this list off. At number 10, we actually have Favio Foreign on Off the Grid. And we're going to be speaking about the third verse in the song. And everything to me about this verse is shocking. To start off with, the fact that he was on a Kanye West album really surprised me. Not only that, but hearing how good and how long the verse was also shocking.
That was the biggest surprise for me, was how long this verse was, because I explained this in the Donda review, but it's actually a great strategic verse, because if you look at Playboi Carti's verse, it's shorter in size. Like, the intro of the track is a bit more digestible because, you know, throughout all of Off the Grid, you're going to get, you know, verse 3 and verse 4, which ends up being Kanye, and that third verse from Favio was one of the biggest displays on that whole album. I mean, from start to finish, this guy does not stop and just talks about such deep and rich, you know, content matter. So, remember when I was broke wearing cheap coats, now it's diamonds and houses and C-notes. So, it's cool to see how he was able to use double entendres, how he was able to use alliteration, like how he was able to match his rhyme syllables. Like, this was fucking cool. And it was also surprising to me because he's a drill artist that doesn't necessarily dive into the most compact and deep performances when it comes to, you know, laying a 32 down. So how did you feel about the verse and why do you think it made this
list? I think lyrically, I don't know if you use any double entendres, but it was a good lyrical verse. He had these internal rhyme schemes. And what I really appreciate is the fact that he put so much of his heart and soul into the tonality of his verse, the way that he was able to switch the energy from one part to the next. Not only that, but with Kanye, I mean, you have to expect him to get career best performances out of artists. He did it with Rick Ross and Devil in New Dress, and he does it here with Favio. And like you were saying, to see this much lyricism over a drill beat from a drill artist, I haven't seen something on this kind of level, and I think that it was genius. And if you look at bars, like, they call me a product of my environment, but I tell them I'm what God produced. It's just, it's next level shit. He's actually spitting a lot of game. And like you were saying, super unexpected, but he delivered. So that's our number 10 pick. At number 9, though, We have something that you were gunning for heavy.
I was really gunning for this.
And honestly, in my personal opinion, there might be some other Nas verses that I would have put over this one from King's Disease 2. But we have Count Me In, verse 2. And it is a strong one. So why were you gunning for this one so hard?
This is how he starts off this. It's verse 2. And this is how he starts it off. Ain't worry about none of them. They bleed how I bleed. Suffering from the symptoms of King's disease. Can't let the bright lights go to your head. I watch my day ones go to the feds. Like, that's what you're getting out of this song. And in this verse is just pure fucking wisdom. Like, you're going to be understand. Like, it's not too long of a verse. Like, there's obviously, like, different, you know, verses. Like maybe the first verse on Store Run or, you know, other types of verses on King's Disease 2, but for me it was just like so much content matter and so much different type of, you know, I would say thought-provoking emotion went into this verse for me. And I mean, I also see it in a way where, you know, Nas is sort of explaining the theme of the album of King's Disease, you know, sort of highlighting the negative things that come with it and how people get, you know, too hungry, they get too greedy, you know, their loyalty goes down the drain when they get that money. Like, those are big concepts that people need to learn and need to listen to. And also the whole thing of you bleed how I bleed, like, that's very powerful, because if you think about that, you know, on a deeper level, why fear anyone? Why question yourself? Why put yourself above or even lower than anyone in that regard? So
yeah.
For me, it was more of a thing of like, Nas is on this mogul vibe. This guy has made hundreds of millions of dollars from music and investments, and he's still spreading messages about, you know, being on the same level as everyone and not being afraid, you know, at what's to come from life. So I think that's why it hit me and it inspired me for this year.
Yeah, I love the verse too. I think that it's great how much of a buildup there is to it, because he kind of has the pace to this verse starting off kind of slowly as he raps, "We live in this life, no two lives are alike." And that is actually echoed multiple times, and it kind of gives you this psychedelic vibe. But in the background, you have this kind of, you know, minimalistic piano melody, but it kind of feels like background music, and you feel like Nas really takes center stage vocally. Not only that, but I love how he's kind of rapping about how he's witnessing the downfall of people in terms of, you know, them being locked up in jail, or also the downfall of them in terms of, from a fame point of view, about how they're being engulfed into this lifestyle of just being obsessed with money and wealth. But at the end of the day, like, the way that I viewed the song was like, it was Nas standing from a rooftop looking above about how he's happy with the choices he's made in his life. And like I said, the way that he actually slowly builds into the pattern of the verse was really well executed, and it is one of the memorable ones off King's Disease 2.
Absolutely. So much content matter and so much thought-provoking emotion with such a short verse. Look how much we just talked about it with, you know, only like maybe 16 bars as a whole. But let's actually move on to number 8, and this is Lil Wayne's third verse off of Bash Money. And I'm a big fan of this song as a whole. I think it's one of the strongest off of Hitler Wears Hermes 8. I'm a big fan of the side A. So I think we had to include this one just because it almost felt like you were listening to vintage Lil Wayne. Like, his delivery and his flow was so clear, because sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, on some Lil Wayne verses that are getting delivered to me nowadays, and more in 2019 and 2018, it was getting a bit static, it was getting a bit mumbly. But here it's like he's really trying to rap and put a full showcase on. I'm gonna read a couple of bars here. It's big. I can make your Kim, Courtney, Chloe do the dash for me. You know, like, it's just, I love those types of braggadocious bars from Wayne in here. And it may not be the most complex in rhyme structure and sort of, I would say, in the way that the verse is, you know, let's say, laid out. But when it comes to his cadence, his delivery, and his flow, definitely one of the best performances of the year
and
for me.
We have to appreciate for a moment Lil Wayne's feature game this year. If you look at what he did on Hot Wind Blows from Call Me If You Get Lost, what he did on Seeing Green, what he's done with, you know, Polo G also, like, every feature, someone put a fucking battery on his back, because he's running through everything. And this verse is special, and probably this is his best verse, I would say, all year. And it's because it's drenched in those classic Wheezy punchlines that we've grown to love. If you look at "These funny cats will Garfield you," or "I just let this chopper ring, won't even phone bill you," it's super playful from Wayne. And not only that, but I love how he kind of takes you from one subject to the next, and the transitions are smooth. So, for example, "Got the new spot, glass house, that's all windows. I be staring out them all day, looking for God signals, staring out my driveway at the different car symbols." Like, the syllable syllable pattern that he has here is super well calculated. And also, at the end of the song, he's actually taking you through how he's about to do like some kind of heist to some extent. And going back to that bar you were talking about, how Kim, Courtney, or Chloe will do the dash for him, he's saying how, like, any person or any woman would be honored to kind of do the dash and escape with, you know, and do the job for him that he wants to get done. So a lot to take in from Wayne here, and I think lyrically definitely his best showcase of the year.
Yeah, and I like this list that we put together because it's more diverse than anything. Like, we wanted to choose different styles of rap, different types of deliveries. Like, you know, you're gonna maybe get better like lyrical verses in the year, but not on the same type of level and energy. So there's a lot of thought that went into this list. But let's actually move on to number 7, and this is Little Sims on "I Love You, I Hate You" off of "Sometimes I Might Be Introvert," and we are gonna be paying attention to the third verse. So this is a very deep song. There's a lot to digest, and when you got to the third verse, let me ask you, how did that third verse tie into the overall thematic basis for you of this song? Because it's a very deep underlying message to this track.
There is a deep underlying message, and I think that what's brilliant about what Little Sims did on this song is that on the second verse, she opens up about how her father abandoned their family when she was young, and how she has all of these feelings of anger and resentment towards her father. And what's amazing about the third verse is that she totally flips her perspective and actually starts to empathize with her father. Absolutely. And humanize him. Like, this shit, I think on a human level, this is one of the verses that touched me the most and shook me to my core.
Could I read something out of this verse that I find beautiful? "I keep you in my prayers because life is short, as we know. Every mistake you make should contribute to your growth. What you choose to avoid will probably come in your dreams. I'm not forgiving you. I'm not forgiving for you. I'm forgiving for me." Yeah. And sometimes, and then after that, the rest of the instrumental plays through. So it's just cool to find how she found this sort of acceptance in that third verse, and you could sort of see the character development within the whole song from verse 1, 2, and 3, and then obviously it's all tied together towards the end of the song. So
it was genius.
It was fucking genius, because I also think that she does a great job at showing her emotions through this verse. Like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of self-thought and, you know, sort of introspection that goes into this. So do you think that she probably had one of the best performances of the year on this song?
100%. And I think that what really added to this verse especially is the fact that as her verse is, you know, continuing and progressing, as her lyrics become more dramatic, so does the production, because you hear the violin chords coming in only at certain points when she's getting more dramatic. Then you'll get horns when she drops a bomb, for example. And it felt like on this song that a huge weight was lifted off her shoulders. It felt like she needed to get off what she was saying and to air out her thoughts on this. And I'm happy that she did, because it was super transparent of her, and I really appreciated it as a verse.
It's really, really, really nice. And guys, we did our review on "Sometimes I Might Be Introvert." Please do your due diligence and go through that album.
It's my album of the year, guys. Right now,
one of the best albums this year. But let's actually move on. We're at our number 6 spot right now, and this is gonna be Conway the Machine's third verse on DMX's "Hood Blues," and this is one of the singles to DMX's posthumous album. How did you feel about it? And do you think right now that Conway the Machine is probably a top 3 lyricist in the game right now, active wise?
It's tough to say. I think that the big conversation around Conway and his lyricism always revolves around the Griselda camp. Like, oh, is he the best lyricist out of Griselda? And I think that right now, out of the OG members, in terms of Conway the Machine, Westside Gunn, and Benny the Butcher, he's the best, but Benny's not far behind him. In terms of all of Griselda, from what I heard this year, I would probably say that Mac Homie and Rome Streets are ahead of him.
Really?
So listen to Pray for Haiti and Death and the Magician, if you guys haven't. Great
projects.
But speaking about this verse, Conway absolutely steals the show and proves that he's probably the best lyricist out of the trio. And what's amazing is that he has such a dirty transition coming off of Benny's verse, and the way that he matches Benny's cadence is masterful. Not only that, but I love how Conway's flow stays super smooth all throughout, but you're also getting these fiery ad-libs from DMX in the background. Not only that, but the internal rhymes that he's spitting hit so hard. For example, "If you throw in shots, you better be precise. If I only squeeze it twice, that's me being polite." Like, that kind of elite lyricism is something that I'm always going into a Conway record for. And also how real he is with some of the lines. For example, "The shooter 14 can't read or write, but he gonna squeeze his pipe."
Yeah.
Like,
just the type of imagery he's able to give you throughout the song, it's really, really, really nice. I love how he was able to shout out Nas in this as well, because Nas said a G at night wasn't good enough, and he was right, and this is obviously off of Nas's Street Dreams, where he says, and they assume I'm slanging drugs because I'm hooded up. So it's also playing into that fact that, like, the stereotypes associated to a rapper and associated to a black male are not necessarily true, and they aren't true, because, you know, everyone's human at the end of the day, and these stereotypes hold people down. And I love the diversity within the content of the verse as well. I think it's the strongest on the track. And Hood Blues is probably, like, one of the best songs of the year. It's definitely up there in some of my best rotation.
Yeah, man. Like, think too. About hearing, like, these gritty raps over, like, these old sounding trumpets. Like, you have beautiful production, but very grimy kind of delivery from, you know, from Griselda. And it's a combination that shouldn't work on paper, but they executed it brilliantly, and Conway stole the show on this one. But let's now move into our top five. So these verses, guys, are really next level. I think that there is a bit of a gap in between the bottom five and the top five, but not by much, but there is a gap. At number five, we have the return of one of the best MCs we've ever seen grace a microphone, and that was Lauryn Hill on Nobody. And we're going to be talking about the third verse from Nas's King's Disease 2. And I think that everybody's reaction when they saw the Nas track list was, holy fuck, Lauryn Hill has reappeared once again.
Yeah, there's a different type of level when Lauryn Hill enters a track list, and it's because, yes, she's obviously fantastic with her vocal performances, and her melodies are beautiful, but she's one of the best lyricists to ever do it, and I'm very, very, very confident in saying that. And the content matter you're getting from here is next level shit. Like, you could feel Lauryn Hill's, like, next level thinking just through this song. So I'll go through a couple of stuff that I like. They clearly didn't understand when I said get out. Apparently my awareness is like Keanu in the Matrix. I'm saving souls and y'all complaining about my lateness. Now it's illegal for someone to walk in my greatness. They want me in the same but they don't take risks. So it's kind of like talking about also the sort of the contradictory points that society has towards Lauryn Hill. Like, everyone was questioning, where is she? Like, you know, why isn't she dropping albums? Why is she?
I was questioning that too. And she gives you clarity on that.
And she does give you clarity on it. It's because she didn't want to do it. Like, she just didn't have it in her to be able to release shit. And obviously there was problems, I believe, with her vocal cords at a certain point. And then after that,
label issues,
major label issues. So I respect Lauryn Hill, because when she comes back, she delivers a beautiful verse like this. So tell me what you like about it, man.
Yeah, first of all, I just love the fact that this is coming 25 years after their first collaboration for If I Ruled the World off of It Was Written. And to hear them have the same chemistry 25 years later is amazing to me. Not only that, but I think everybody was expecting a hook. But to get a verse,
it's massive.
Like, this is a treasure.
Especially, like, to end off the track too.
I can't remember the last time I got a Lauryn Hill verse, and I was mesmerized. What's cool too about her performance is that you get 6 flow switches in this verse, but her cadence is so smooth and focused that it feels like one flow,
yeah,
even though there's multiple ones going on. And not only that, but like you were saying, I love the clarity, because I myself was asking myself, I'm like, oh, you know what? Where has Lauryn Hill been? Why has she not been dropping music? And she speaks about how she spent her time just cherishing her freedom, and how she does not want any record label to take control of her art or her image. And I respect on such a higher level. Not only that, but I also just feel like with what Lauryn Hill is doing here is amazing, because she's kind of showing the next generation that they don't have to be stuck to anything, and they don't have to portray an image or do shit for parodies or do things just for popularity.
She's
like,
moving,
she raps
on her own time, man. This girl's on a different level. Even if, you know, she's talking about, like, what she's doing with her life. So I'm in the secret place. I keep a sacred space. They keep showing me their hands, but keep hiding their face. You know, like, so kind of explaining the reasons why, like, she's kind of taking a step back and just observing at this point, because it's too vicious. It's too malicious to be able to
One more thing.
My bad for that, by the way, to be able to create content. Yeah. So, yeah, what were you going to ask me?
No, I was going to say, like, I don't know if you picked up on this, but I feel like maybe out of any verse I've heard this year, the way that she pronounces her words with, like, this crystal clear clarity is amazing, because you can easily make out everything that she's saying. And She raps with so much class, man, and it has to be admired, to be honest.
Absolutely. So that's our number 5 pick, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move into our top 4 now. So at number 4, we have Kendrick Lamar's, I believe it's the second part.
Because it is second verse.
It's second verse off of Family Ties. And I mean, the first time I watched that trailer, I just knew what type of energy Kendrick was coming with. And the verse had gotten mixed reception because people were kind of weirded out by it at first because Kendrick was experimenting on different levels. But holy shit, this guy does not know how to stop. He is proving to be still one of the best, probably the best lyricist in the game right now. So how do you feel about Kendrick's penmanship in 2021? And did this satisfy your hunger for more Kendrick content this
year? Man, the rebirth of Kendrick was fucking exhilarating, man. I couldn't believe it when it happened. And what's interesting is that in the past, when Kendrick would stay quiet for a number of years and then come back into the game, we would notice that he'd come back on a single or on something like The Heart Part 4. But for him to come back on a feature was very different. And I just love that his return once again is all about him securing that spot at the top of the game and challenging everybody else, saying that he's smoking on those top fives, talking about how the game needs him to survive. Not only that, but I actually counted the number of unique voices that Kendrick portrays on this verse.
One of his best assets.
5 unique voices on this fucking verse, man. One verse. Not only that, but if you think about his ability to change from one vocal tone to the next so seamlessly, it's fucking amazing. Not only that, but I think that what most rappers should be scared about the most about this verse is that this is Kendrick just having fun. This is him just playing. What about when he's for real? What about when he actually gets back on that saddle and is ready to go in? That's when people are going to have to start getting scared. And I think that this just shows us that once Kendrick drops his album, he's going to be fucking up a lot of people's album of the year list, excuse me.
Yeah, he's going to be on the top of those lists, and it's for a good reason, because you're never getting anything short from perfect with Kendrick. Like, as you were saying, the voice switches, but did you even hear the flow? No, the flow switches at a certain point.
Double time flows too.
Like, just so fucking crazy. Also, a new voice that was introduced in here. New flows coming. Be patient, brother. Like, I
know.
When I heard that in it, I was like, that was so perfectly
fucking done. The country boy.
I love... People hate on it. I fuck with it. I love this new voice because it's almost comedic to a certain point. But you know how hard it is to pull off a voice like that and to be able to put it in as a... Not many people are able to do what he does. It's a very complicated verse. If you actually go through all of the bars, everything's very short and concise. But you have bars here like I answer to Metatron and Gabriel, two angels.
The religious imagery.
Like the, Kendrick's religious imagery and his connection to his spirituality adds that substance you need to go through a Kendrick song. Like, this was perfect, and the fact that this was only a feature for me really brought it to a whole different
level.
Yeah,
and I just loved seeing him assert his dominance again with bars like 2021, I ain't taking no prisoner. Last year, y'all fucked up all the listener. Who went platinum? I call that a visitor. Like, there's nobody challenging others the way that, you know, Kendrick is. And I'm happy that he did get a response out of somebody like Freddie Gibbs. I like that there's that competitive energy there. But I think that it is cool to see Kendrick being in this playful mode. And I want to ask you that to end off our talk on this verse. Is obviously, we saw him being, comedic and kind of being playful on this verse, on his verse on Range Brothers. How would you feel if he carried that on to his own project?
I would love it. It would be a whole different approach, because the thing is that I don't necessarily shy away from Kendrick experimenting, because when an artist experiments, it takes time to get into the aesthetic. It takes time in your listening rotation. But what you have to look for is those technical abilities that are being executed right. So as you were saying, you know, the flow switches and the voice changes, they're different, but they're done in a way that's so seamless and that doesn't seem like there's any regression on that side from Kendrick. Like, this is shit that you've seen on albums like The Pimp a Butterfly and GKMC, all these voice switches and shit that now it's just a game of him changing it up. So that's what I'm interested in, is like, how does he take his skill set and how does he make it unique? How does he make it fresh in the industry? And to think about Kendrick doing comedic rap, like, just with his voices and cadences, let's say, because I don't think the content matter is going to be oriented around that, it would be so cool to see, because it does add that extra sort of freshness into his verses.
I don't think he's going to do it, but we'll have to see. It would be interesting.
It would be very interesting.
But we're now into our top 3, and these verses just really, you know, they floored us. Like, they really fucking shook us.
Best of the year.
Yeah. Number 3, we have Ka on I Notice, his first verse. And if you guys are not familiar with Ka, an amazing underground artist and honestly one of the best lyricists that the game has right now. And this comes off of his album, A Martyr's Reward, one of the best concept albums of the year. I do suggest you guys checking it out. But speaking about Ka, I mean, I think that the best way to speak about how you should go into one of his verses, understanding that it kind of feels like you're listening to
someone speak
this haunting audiobook. It feels like an audiobook with like these minimalistic, very eerie instrumentals that it really puts you in an experience about just storytelling and him putting you in an environment through his words, because more than anything, he's a poet. And what I love the most about Ka is that every syllable, every word, every line has a purpose. There's That's nothing true. That he's wasting. That Everything is, very true. Is part of the story that he's telling. And I want to kind of make you guys freak out a bit, because the opening to this verse is fucking mind-blowing.
The first three lines are crazy.
Just listen to the pen game here, okay? Cops got us under microscopes to make sure we see cells. No, my first vitamin was iron, but I just wanted to be 12. So let's break this down, okay? Cops got us under microscopes to make sure we see cells. Of course, you could see cells under microscopes, but he's also talking about cells as in prison cells. Yeah, so
fire.
The double entendre there is ridiculous. After that, my first vitamin was iron, but I just wanted to beat 12. B12 as in cops, but also B12 vitamin B. The way that this guy's wordplay really just elevates you to another level, this is like, whoa. Like, this guy is on a different fucking level.
Do you even think maybe the iron line could also refer to a gun as well? Because like, it could. I didn't think about that. Like, maybe the gunmetal too. Like, and just saying, like, but I just wanted the B12. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay, I see. And like, then, okay, last line is crazy. I'll let you read it out.
The last line? I don't have it in front of me.
Didn't dwell by the seashore, but was sure to see shells.
Oh, man.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen.
That is insane, guys.
Did you see the way that he was able to use, like, didn't dwell by the seashore, but was sure to see shells.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the double entendres in this verse is absolutely fucking crazy.
You're not going to get this anywhere else. I think that's why you have to, you know, really appreciate what Ka is doing here. And I just love that he tells you about these horror stories from Brownsville, which is where he's from. And, you know, on this song, throughout his verse, has these creepy vocal screeches throughout it that really help set up the atmosphere. And not only that, but his vocal delivery on this, like, he sounds exhausted. Like, he sounds tired in that, like, he's fighting for his life.
He sounds like he took a beating and he just has to deliver his left, like, his words. Like, he's going through this whole verse and giving you just what he usually does well. And that's different introspection on his, you know, on his upbringing and being raised in the streets. Like, he's also talking about was on every summer, if wonder why I ain't no offsprings. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he's talking about shit that makes you wonder about different thematic bases within his album. So as Lou said, please check out this album. It's fucking fantastic. I need to do a read dive of this. I haven't really gone through it fully, like inspected everything.
It's not the most accessible album, I'll say that, but if you appreciate lyricism and pen game, he's one of the best doing it right now.
It's like watching a good fucking movie. That's exactly what it is. But let's move on to number two now. And this was, when the first time I heard this verse, I knew that it was going to play somewhere high on my top 10 verses of the year list. And this is J Electronica on Jesus Lord. This verse is fucking incredible. It left me speechless, all the way from the religious symbolism to J Electronica talking about the current state of society, as he often likes to do, you know, taking his Ducati and going through Wakanda. You know, there's just so many different moments from this verse that make it so special, and it's my favorite verse on the Donda album. So take me through your first experience listening to this verse firsthand.
Yeah, I was just fucking amazed. Like, when I heard him, because I saw those like pictures taken of Kanye and J Elec before I think it was the second listening party.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if there's a verse on here, he's about to fucking kill this shit. And that's exactly what he did. He gave us the best verse on that album. And to me, this is a lyrical masterclass because of the linear structure that there is to this album. He comes in by starting to rap about how, you know, he's on a religious journey the same way that Kanye is, and how, you know, he raps at the beginning. It's J Elec Entendre. It's so hard to say. It's J Elec Entendrenica coming through your monitor back from the great beyond, like the son of man or the son of Donda. So He's playing right into the themes of the music, and he's just taking you through so many topics and fitting so much in, such as historical injustices in Rwanda.
I want to talk about that, actually. This is probably my favorite part about this whole verse. Listen to this. I never rolled the GSXR or the RS or the Honda. Man, imagine having to fucking rap that. But I flew my Ducati through North America like Wakanda, was the bar I referenced at the beginning of this. Earthquakes will strike this nation for what Bush did to Rwanda, what the Clintons did to Haiti, and Downing Street did to Ghana. Come on, bro. Now he's even starting to introduce, like, you know, this unrevealed shit that the government's fucking everyone up. Like, you know, like, that's the thing is, he's really about that raw content matter that makes you step back and be like, whoa, what the fuck did he just say? You know, like, he's talking about, you know, the Clinton and the Bush administration. Like, that's pretty fucking deep, you know? Bro. And he's calling out their karma. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. So, you know, why do you think he chooses to go so deep on every single verse he delivers?
I think he wants to let you in on his culture. And I think that's what I love so much about this verse and so many other J Electronica verses, is that he's not afraid to represent and to honor his religious beliefs. And he does that here with the Nation of Islam. And an example of that is this part where he's using this multisyllabic rhyming, which is extraordinary. He raps, "I could change the world like Yaqub with two pieces of steel, my sword and my microphone, I swore to the Christ throne." And apparently Yaqub is actually a scientist from the Nation of Islam who discovered the laws of attraction and also the laws of repulsion between two pieces of steel. So he's able to put me on to his own culture while also bringing in, you know, these very braggadocious bars about his own pen game. Not only that, but he gives power and weight to his own words by, you know, by using these great metaphors like, "I shake the tectonic plates of the game if I lay one vocal. The god is interstellar while you fellows remain vocal. Remain local. My bars is like the pyramid temples of Pakal Votan." So just speaking about how his words will live on forever and will be as enduring as fucking pyramids.
Yeah, there's some different
it's
type
just,
of...
It's nuts.
It was the perfect setting for this song, because Jesus Lord is probably the deepest song on Donda, at least one of them. So when you're going through this track, like, J Electronica just has... Oh, definitely deserves a spot. Like, no one could argue this. Like,
how could you pack this much into one verse?
No. Like, J Electronica is one of the best lyricists to ever do it. And the thing is that... even after I listened to A Written Testimony, the question was, like, when is he going to drop new music? Is he ever going to come out with an album? I don't care. Like, his verses are so exclusive for me and are so welcome to me that I just, like, I freak out. I freak the fuck out every time we listen to a J-Lite
verse. And honestly, what's surprising is that, like, I feel like this would have been one of the best verses on A Written Testimony.
That's true. That is true.
There's a lot of great ones, so? But I think it would have been top three for sure.
Okay, yeah, no, that's definitely... it's definitely one of the best verses I've heard in, like, the past couple of years. Like, it's
he's so quiet.
Oh, no, I think he also saves his content matter and his verses for good occasions, and Donda was the perfect occasion to be able to showcase his skills. But let's move on to Lou and I's favorite verse of the year, and I was talking to Lou about this. It's like, this is an unreleased song, so maybe you guys already have a hint, and we did cover this on the Patreon plan, but this is going to be the first time we talk about Life of the Party, the unreleased track that Drake had leaked on Friday's OVO radio show, and Andre 3K's verse on here. Oh, bro, this guy has to drop a solo album. This guy has to drop something. I don't want to hear anyone discredit Andre 3K anymore for not having a solo album after he's delivering verses like this at such an age. Like, this guy does not know how to stop. This guy is so fucking relentless in his approach whenever delivering a beautiful verse. Like, take this and put it in the Louvre. Like, this is, for me, top class art when it comes to hip hop. And man, I wish this song would have made Donda.
I know. So, I don't know how it did it.
Why is it number one, man? Why did we have to put
look,
it
this
here?
Is just, this is fucking soul food. I mean, this just speaks to your soul. And I was talking about how the little Sims verse was so human, and this one, again, it really connects you on a different level, and it's a message that's so universal. But if you guys haven't heard Life of the Party by Kanye West, of course, it was kind of a cut from Donda, and it features Andre 3K, like we were just saying. But the files are kind of being uploaded to YouTube, but also removed. But you guys can still probably find it with a quick YouTube search. But speaking on Life of the Party, I was just floored at the fact that Andre 3K is just, he's letting it all out. Like, he's really letting us in to his mind. Like, this felt like a diary confession from Andre 3000, and the introspection that we're getting from him on a spiritual level, the fact that the same way that Travis Scott and Jay-Z on Donda were communicating to Donda herself, it's the same kind of concept and approach that Andre 3K does here, but he goes a step even further by wanting Donda to reach out to his parents, because Andre 3K is hoping that his mother and father spirits have found solace. He's hoping to get a sign in this physical realm to know that they're okay and that they're actually living through whatever realm they're in a healthy way. And I love that Andre 3K is kind of longing for the spiritual connection, and the way that he opens his verse, "Hey, Miss Donda, if you run into my mama, please tell her I say something. I'm starting to believe ain't no such thing as heaven's trumpets." The fact that he's questioning his faith because he hasn't gotten a sign, it shows the desperation that he has for that spiritual connection.
It's fucking mind-blowing. And then after that, towards the end of the end of this verse, he then switches it on his dad, saying, "Miss Donda, you see my father? Please ask him why he never married. Always smiled, but was he happy inside?" So it was like, what? Like, these are things that you're supposed to talk about with, like, your therapist and shit. Like, not stuff that you're saying. Like, stuff that I welcome to a verse, because it's going to be on the top tier of my list at the end of the year. But, man, like, what a fucking verse.
He's got to,
like,
drop the fucking solo album.
He has to drop the solo album. Like, not only that, but he's also one of the best producers of all time. Like, Andre 3K has an incredible catalog full of beautiful productions. And just going throughout this, it's like, listen to this. No, two young people with different views talking about his parents. A lot for a young lady. No coincidence. They both passed away from heart conditions. There's I can't even pronounce this. There's a dissidence at play. Dad and mom do hard division. Come on, bro. Like, no, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, just, imagine opening up about your parents on an open track like this and just talking about how beautiful it is to question stuff and to observe stuff and to learn from your parents. Because I was also talking about this with my dad at one point, and he told me the goal always for a parent is to be able to see your kids strive and be in front of you, you know, to be a better version of you. So I feel as if I could correlate to this verse on a different message, because it's just beautiful. Like, I don't see anyone doing this type of content matter. It's so humble. It's so freeing. And it could help a lot of people, too, put shit into perspective. Like, think about how many people go through family problems and think about different subject matter and think about, you know, different ideologies that might be haunting to them. Like, this could put a lot of people at ease. And yeah, it's definitely some of the best writing.
It's beautiful. And I just love how he's in this meditative state of mind. And he's just reflecting about all the things that he never got to ask his parents, all the things that he never got clarity on. And that's just so authentic from him. Not only that, but if you look at what he does towards the end of the verse, the dynamic rhythm that there is to his flow, where he's rapping kind of in this flow that reminds me of his Outkast days. He raps, "I don't know, but I do know that it's crucial that we do so pronto. I don't know how much long though." Like, that's how he ends off his verse. And the ability to just to use his voice as an instrument like he always does is really groundbreaking. And like I said, man, the way that he comes off so vulnerable here, and the ability for him to share this with the world, I feel like it must be a freeing experience for him. And it's a freeing experience for me listening to this, because I don't get this from my favorite artists every day.
No, that's very, 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 very true. And Andre 3K throughout this whole verse is so rhythmically in tune that, you know, just line to line, you could see the quick transitions. You could see the progression in the story. Like, his delivery allows you to be able to understand this on a different level, because think about how complicated a verse like this could get, like, where, you know, you're explaining so much deep content matter and storytelling while being able to tie it in to the message of the Donda album and doing it in such a seamless way. So definitely our favorite of the year, guys. You let us know how you feel about this list, and tell us where we fucked up, you know, tell us where we went wrong with a couple of these. If you guys feel as if one verse should have been slotted in, we always like to, you know, discuss with you guys in the comment sections. Not only that, but we actually just dropped our new series, Free Smoke, my bad, and it dropped this Monday, I believe. So if you guys want to see that, go ahead to our YouTube, and if you guys are new to the channel, please subscribe, because we'll be keeping you updated with all of the biggest releases of the industry. Thank you for watching through all of this, and we'll catch you in the next one. Thank you for watching the video. It's always a pleasure doing content for you guys. Listen, if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel because we're doing album reviews, and we actually have our series called Everything We Know, where we take you guys through the whole album rollout of the hottest releases of the year. Not only that, guys, but our Patreon plan is now live. You guys could access that in the bio. I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you on the next one.